thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Psalm 34, that's what we're looking at today. Psalm 34, and this is they're all good ones, but this is a good one. Let me read the 22 verses of Psalm 34. And I'm going to read it looks like a little note, but it's actually part of the Word of God. It's we don't have it listed as verse 1, but in the Hebrew Bibles, it is verse 1. And it's a little descriptive note on the context of the psalm, the circumstances surrounding the psalm and how it came to be. Psalm 34. Of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out, and he went away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is man? What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. May God add his richest blessing to this, the reading of his word. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for this psalm. It is a powerful one, a beautiful one. Of course, it is your word. We want to know the power and the beauty of it and apply it to how we live. We want to be changed on the inside, in our hearts, in our minds, in our thinking, and how we live by your word. And we want to bring you glory through that. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Your character is determined by where you run to when you need somewhere to run to. What or who is refuge for you? You might think there is a more important question in life. There isn't. What are people like? Well, what are we too often like? We're bleeding, our bones are broken, we're sick, and we won't call 911, we won't ask for help. Now, of course, if we're bleeding, bones broken, sick physically, we will call for help, go to the doctor, even ask for prayer. But if we are all these things, bleeding, broken, sick somehow spiritually, so many of us, so much of the time, will not ask for help, will not seek help. And God tends to be the last place, too much of the time, the last place that we go to for refuge. We pray about things when we run out of all other options. That's when, you know, things are really bad, when you hear them whip out the P word, you know, and throw their hands in the air. We talk about prayer and even God when we've exhausted all other possibilities and there's just no hope left. The situation is over. You can't turn the ship around or keep it from sinking to the bottom of the ocean. So I guess, well, I guess we're going to have to pray about it. Just ask God for help. Pretty sad. Your character is determined by where you run to. When you need somewhere to run to, what or who is refuge for you? You might think there is a more important question in life. There isn't. And this question is the basis, the background of Psalm 34. So you see David, he had, again, if you've studied the life of David, read about it, he had again a good reason, a very good reason, to fear for his life from Saul, from being in the presence of Saul. Saul was a failed king. God proclaimed him to be a failed king, yet he was still in position, still had the power. He was jealous of David. He coveted David, David's anointing, David's future with God. And when you covet, it gets dangerous. That's when you break any other commandment. That's when you do commit, imagine any other sin. And David was in danger. And that is what the introduction to the psalm lets us know about. Let's see if we get this to work. There it is. Of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. I'm going to read where this comes from. It comes from 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15. All right, so this is a part of scripture you might not know about. It involves drool, dribble, spit. So be prepared to hear those words. You already did, so it's too late. Ready? Here we go. 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David, the king of the land? Did not they sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? I love that. Isn't that cool? I love that. I love that king. You just have a warm spot in your heart for Achish when he says, do I lack madmen? You know, he's a guy in charge of something, because if you're in charge of anything, there's no lack of madmen. Amen? Yeah, amen indeed. So according to the beginning of this psalm, Psalm 34, it was written at one of the many low times in David's life. He's humiliated. He's hiding. It seems to me that God probably gave him the idea to act insane and do what he did, but still, it's conduct that seems unseemly, unbecoming maybe, of the future king of Israel, of the one bearing in his body the DNA of the Messiah. And so at the same time, he's being rescued by some strange means, and I think that's how God likes to work. Sometimes it all seems strange. I mean, we have Easter week coming up 2 weeks from this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and then we're marching forward to Holy Week, and the whole way that Jesus did what he did, it can seem pretty strange. He did what? He died on a cross outside a city in the Middle East, and that paid the price for my sins. That seems strange. God operates in ways that seem strange to us. And you can read about it in the Bible. And this is one of those times. And here he sought refuge in the court of a foreign king to get away from Saul. And he had not refuge in the court of a foreign king. He felt it in his heart, fear. And it's just an ugly, painful thing. And wonderful, because he got saved, so it worked. But that's kind of how things are sometimes in life. And the Bible accurately reflects that. So Psalm 34 is an acrostic. Again, you know what that is? Remember what that is? Each verse starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order. And this psalm has been just something I've lived with. I know it in the old version, the old NIV, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Just always thought about that one. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That has been just an aid to me in ministry all these years. People say, what do you say when you don't know what to say? Sometimes you say nothing, and that's often the best thing to say. But sometimes you can say something like Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And sometimes when people are down and out and crushed, and broken, that's a good word. Hey, God is here. He's here. He's close. And the very next one, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Those two go together. And then the last verse, the Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. That's always been something for me. You know, it's like, oh, I just don't know. I don't know my standing with God. I don't know if I'm in a good place. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. That's what our faith is. That's what it is. What does a Christian do? A Christian takes refuge in God. There's only one means. There's only one way, truth, and life. There's only one means of refuge, and that's Jesus Christ. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. And so as we look at the anchor verses, it turns out I memorized two of the anchor verses, the two anchor verses of Psalm 34. They both talk about taking refuge in him, verse 8 and verse 22. And that helps us, that helps frame our understanding of the psalm. And no matter what David had to go through, he survived. And we see that. And he learned. He's talking about that in the psalm. He learned more about God and his faithfulness, how good a refuge God really is. And this is the best that any of us can say about our hard times. No matter what, in Christ, you want your testimony to be this: I grow through what I go through. And this was the case with David. And he shares it with us. The Holy Spirit inspires him to share it with us. The Holy Spirit uses David's life to change our lives here in exhorting us to obey. It's something to obey. When it says take refuge in the Lord, that's something to obey. And the resulting life change is to God's credit. And that's why the psalm starts the way it starts. It starts praising God. And just think of a movie. Think of everything, all of history, all of time being a movie. And at the end of the movie, the credits run. And whose name will be there as the star of the movie, as the producer of the movie, as the director of the movie? Jesus Christ and his name alone. Amen? God. God's the star. God's the point. And that's why whatever happens to us, when he does whatever he does, the first thing we do is praise his name. Amen? And that's where the psalm starts. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm already convicted in reading that. Look at that. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Amen? Yes, it's the greatest feeling ever, right there, to have your heart overflowing with thankful praise to God because he clearly saved your sorry butt. Amen? He saved you. He saved you, and you needed saving. You were a mess. It's not about you having your act together, you doing well, you proving yourself, you climbing the ladder. No, you fell off the ladder, and then the ladder fell on you. You're broken. and you're a mess, and you're in pain, and you need a place to run now. You need a place of shelter. You need a refuge. And that place is God. Praise his name. This is a testimony. That's what this is. It's a reminder, by the way, too. Any and every good thing that happens for you must be shared like this. God did it. God gets the credit for it. God delivered me. We need to hear you say that. And when he does it for you, you need to say it. You need to hear yourself say it. And we lack for hearing of how God has worked in each other's lives. Our tanks are empty when it comes to that inspiration that's just available to us if we just start talking to one another about how God has gotten us through the week. Just start talking about how God has been faithful to you, about how he's been showing himself faithful to you in your life. We need to hear it. People in your life need to hear it. And the psalm reminds us of that. And it is a testimony. A Christian life is a life filled with testimonies like that of verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. That's a testimony. That's fuel in our spiritual tanks. And we're gonna feature testimonies. As we move from the character part of this year and move into commission, we're looking at creative ways of featuring testimonies from a few of our brothers and sisters here at Goodwill in various and sometimes creative ways. You know, stay tuned for that. In the meantime, open your mouth, you know, and lay some God-praising on the rest of us. Amen? Right? And we won't just hear your words, by the way. We'll see it in your face. That's why it's so good to see somebody live and in person give a testimony. You know, sometimes you get to see that on a video, but you see it in how they look. That's what he talks about next in verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. You get the sense of joy there. And then here's David talking about himself. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He might have had to arrive at that, by the way. He might have, at first, not enjoyed himself. He's a human being like any of the rest of us, and we read enough about him in the scriptures to know this is for certain. We read about his failings and flaws and faults, and so he might have been a little perturbed, a little irked at having to drool on himself and act insane in front of the king in order to save himself, even though that idea had to be a thought dropped in his mind by God. Still, that's how it works sometimes. Sometimes God will work in our lives, but we're still not happy with it. And how do we get to where we need to get? Well, we start speaking the way that David is speaking here. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. I'm saved. He saved me. It was weird how it worked. We always think that. Maybe our idea of normal is weird, and God's idea of normal is normal. And I think the Bible says that, right? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord in Isaiah 55:8. So his ways are different. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. And so it's angels as well that are featured here. And then we land on one of the anchor verses. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. That's it. Anchor verse, a key verse here. Notice that all the senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, they're all being employed here, involved here. When someone's blessed, they're not alone. The presence of joy involves the presence of angels and all manner of radiance. Notice that verse 8 is a sermon in one verse. So you had the testimony before and then the sermon that follows. Will you do it or not? Will you take refuge in the Lord or not? If it's a sermon, it presents you that kind of challenge. Am I going to do this or not? How am I going to respond? And there's a sermon there in verse 8. Let me say it again. Let me put it on the screen this time. Your character is determined by where you run to when you need somewhere to run to. What or who is refuge for you? You might think it's not that important a question, but it is. So this has been important to me in my life. I've had Psalm 34, verse 8, just part of my life, and I've never been able to counter it. My worst days, I've never been able to say, Psalm 34, verse 8, you're a lie. That's not the truth. I've never been able to do that. No matter how immersed I am in pain, and whether it's just genuine pain, and self-pity is genuine too, but it didn't come from a genuine source. Doesn't matter. I'm drowning. I'm hurting. I'm fallen. You know, I'm broken. I'm defeated. I feel just like a failure. And there is Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Go to God. The lie will die. The lie that he's not good will die. You know, the truth will work in you. It's amazing how the Psalms work, because they're meant to be part of our lives. The whole Bible is. But the Psalms are especially designed for us to sing and to memorize, to set to song, as we have so many of our songs set as settings of Psalms. You know, and they're fun to sing, and there's something powerful about them. God's doing a work in us, and you can see it. The Bible shows that. He's doing a good work. Let's just read that. Read what happens next. Here, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. Interesting how David writes this. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Like the most powerful thing on the ground back then were lions. And when you go to Israel, you learn that there were lions were a part of life back in the day. There's not many lions there now. I think there are some, but not like there was. And that was one of the ways that people died, is they got killed by lions. You know? And David is bringing that up, like even they suffer, like their strength, and they seem to be so powerful. They're not. But if we seek him, look at verse 11 there. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? A question asked there. So think about the context now of the psalm, the introduction. I mean, God is being praised by David for getting David out of this tight spot. It's inspiring us. And David's making a case here, making a case for the Lord's goodness to each of us. No matter what our context or circumstances, no matter what our situation. Notice, by the way, that he obviously had to go through that situation to grow through it. So he had to go through this situation where he had to act insane and drool on his beard and that kind of thing to get to a place where he writes words like this. So as I said earlier, you know, this is what we want our testimony to be. I grow through what I go through. But deeper than that, even more than that, is we can fill in the blank here. Like my love of God grows through what I go through. My faith in God grows through what I go through. My trust in God grows through what I go through. My knowledge of God grows through what I go through. My love for God grows through what I go through. My enjoyment of him, even my glorification of him, it grows through what I go through. And then when we're delivered and changed by God, when we take refuge in him instead of not doing that, because that's how the psalm is presenting reality to us, there's two kinds of people. People who take refuge in the Lord and people who don't. And there's a line drawn, and you recognize the Bible by that line drawn. You recognize that it's God talking because he draws a line between the holy and the profane, between good and evil. And it's uncomfortable for us. And it's part of the refuge that he offers us. It's part of what's good for us. Look what he says next. This is now, God has saved me, so now he's provided refuge for me. What do I do now? I want to do the good thing rather than the bad thing. I want to do the thing that pleases him rather than the thing that displeases him. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now here comes the line. Recognize it in verses 15 and 16. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When you see this line, you know you're dealing with God. I remember reading all kinds of religious literature from all kinds of religions, really exploring all of human religion in my college days, and it was only the Bible and only really even Jesus that drew that line, and I hated it. I loved all these other books. Oh, they're so much fun. And most of them are telling me how I'm God, so I'm digging that. Yeah, tell me more. How can I enjoy being God? And how can I tell the rest of the world I'm God? They should know this, I'm characterizing my exploration of this material from other religions. The sober slap, when your heater breaks and you turn the shower on and you just think, I'm getting in that nice hot shower, and instead it's ice cold. And that's when your sanctification is tested. What comes out of your mouth now? Sanctification test right there, right? What comes out of your mouth? Well, that cold, that briskness, that's what you see in the scriptures. And that's part of the rescuing work. Jesus doesn't say the rules don't matter. You know, he doesn't say that cancel the Ten Commandments, cancel the Old Testament. Jesus doesn't say that. He fulfills it. And in him, unlike any other way, in him we can live more and more in line with what pleases God. And we can read about what pleases God in the Old Testament, being that it's most of the Bible. Yeah. So, even if the truth hurts, even if you're uncomfortable with that line, because I would come up against a psalm like this, and I would hate reading that, and I would back off. And it just took the Holy Spirit just keep me, because I wanted the refuge. I didn't recognize that the walls of the refuge were built out of righteousness. Like, Jesus is righteous. The whole thing that he does with the cross is a fulfillment of righteousness as defined in the rest of the Bible, specifically the Old Testament. I learned, we have to learn, we're on a path to learn that even if the truth hurts, that's where we take our refuge, amen? That's where we go, even if it hurts. It's the truth. It's his truth. Run there. Don't run to a lesser refuge. Don't dance on quicksand. Don't climb up into a sinking lifeboat. You know, get yourself to solid ground. David, his psalm, the word of God, explains it in these verses next. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Great, powerful ministry and comfort here. Again, I've used Psalm 34, verse 18 so many times. Those words are always true. It's always a refuge. Maybe you need them right now. Notice the clear references to Christ here. Did you see that? Do you see that? That last verse there on the screen? He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. This happens all the time in the Psalms. And who could that be about? Who could that be? It's got to be Jesus. It's got to be about Christ, a reference to him. And it's not just that. Christ is the only righteous man. Christ is the one afflicted, crying out, and delivered. And in his deliverance, we have ours. His deliverance scoops us up into it. You know, that's our faith. He died that we may live. He rose that we might follow. And the psalm ends with, again, that line between the righteous and otherwise, the righteous being described as those who take refuge in him. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. I remember it was years ago, an older, seasoned, respected Sunday school teacher in a church where I was teaching Sunday school. Her and I had a little devotion before. We had to teach our classes, only two of us this particular instant. And so I read from Psalm 34 because I was digging it, and I talked about the idea of refuge. I love this idea. And I liked it back then because I wasn't so sure about my Sunday school teaching skills. I just didn't know. But I did know that God has got me. He had equipped me, and he would carry me, and he will deliver me. I was talking about that and just how we can always trust in him to be a refuge for us. And I thought what she'd say when we were all done is, oh, that's really nice. Let's pray and let's have good Sunday school classes. But instead, she stared at me with tears running down her face. I didn't know what to do. okay. And for a change, I didn't say anything. It took me a minute to realize that I was watching her take refuge in the Lord. I don't know what she was running from or what she was dealing with, but I was watching her take refuge from it in him. I was watching a woman of God be a woman of God. I was watching a disciple be a disciple. And I just waited, and then she prayed, and we went to Sunday school, and that's never left me. That's the power of his word. That's the power of the image that he gives us, the picture that he gives us of refuge. We need it. He offers it. He's offering it right now. Refuge. Refuge for you. Again, here's the question. Here's the refuge question your characters turn away. You run to when you need somewhere to run to. Who is your refuge? Who's your refuge? Of course, your faith is evidenced by this too, but it's presented as part of who you are. Have you grown through what you've gone through? If you've grown in Christ through what you've gone through, then you've grown in your dependence on him. You've grown in your ability to immediately take refuge in him. To trust him with your mess, with your failings, with your sins, confessing them to him, asking for forgiveness, knowing that the forgiveness is yours, purchased and completed, finished through his death on the cross. So I want to pray and just kind of put up that last verse there on the screen for prayer and let the Holy Spirit work here in this place and in this moment. Thank you, Lord, so much. Thank you that you redeem us. And we're not your servants until we're redeemed. And so those words go together. We see that in the verse. And thank you that what you offer us instead of condemnation is refuge. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone here, anyone watching at home, anyone here, Lord, that needs refuge? Let them run to you now. Let them find themselves in your arms now. Surrounded by you, let their faces become radiant. Let them sense the presence of even angels, if you will, Lord, so they know. So they know your word is true. They know that you're faithful. They know that you kept your promise that you would never abandon, you'd never forsake. You're with us now. We can trust you. We can trust you with things that we don't even understand, things that we have a tough time understanding, the things that break our hearts, the things that crush our spirits. We can trust you with those things. We can take refuge in you. Thank you, Lord. Let no one be held back. Remove any obstacles there are in anyone's life. Those obstacles that are keeping them from you. Would you remove those obstacles now, Lord, in answer to our prayer, that they might find and experience the joy and the fullness, have that same testimony that David had in this psalm. Thank you, Lord. You are our refuge. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, we give thanks and pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Let me invite you to rise. Let's sing together.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.